Welcome to Lesson 3 in our study in the Epistles as a part of the Prophecy Series. Today, we're going to be focusing on another epistle that was written by Paul in his reference to materials concerning the end times. In fact, we're going to find that with this lesson and the next couple of lessons, we're going to be focusing on his letters to the Thessalonians. It seems that the Thessalonians were struggling with the concept of events and circumstances concerning the end times. That's to our profit because we find ourselves in a very similar situation, struggling with trying to understand the things that are happening in the future and how they affect us right now. So today we're going to focus on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 13 through 18, the rapture. Now, this is a very familiar passage of Scripture, especially for those of us who hold to a rapture view, who believe that Jesus Christ will come back for believers. Now, what I need you to understand is that we have to go back in our consideration of the epistles and recognize a couple of things. So first of all, we have to recognize that this was written for a specific occasion. And what we have here are great truths, but let's look at what the truths are addressing first of all. Second, this passage doesn't give us insight as to when the rapture will occur. Remember, in the introductory material to the prophetic series, I told you that there are several views concerning when the rapture will take place. The most typical view is the pre-trib rapture, that the rapture will take place before the tribulational period. There are other views, such as the mid-trib viewpoint, which talks about the tribulation happening in the middle of the tribulation. The post-trib viewpoint, which talks about the rapture happening at the end of the tribulation. Then, of course, there's the pre-wrath rapture, meaning that the rapture will take place before God pours out his wrath on the world in the tribulation. And then, of course, there is the one view that is held which says there is no rapture. There are folks out there who just flat out say there is no rapture. The difficulty with that viewpoint is that what is described in these verses has already been described in one of the other passages that we've looked at so far in our study in the epistles, and that is from 1 Thessalonians 15. So a rapture is going to take place, but let me say, remember my first point. Let's talk about it with reference to what Paul is bringing it up in his letter for. What is he addressing? So let us set the backdrop before we get into our study. The Thessalonians, of course, were a church that Paul had established, and someone had come to them and told them about the events of the second coming, and that possibly that it was already too late. Too late for who, George? Well, too late for their loved ones who had already died. And so there was a concern with the Thessalonians concerning their fellow loved one believers who had died, whether or not they would be able to be there for the events of the second coming. Somehow they had been told that they would be missing out. And so what we see here with this passage is that Paul is trying to correct that incorrect teaching. He's trying to bring them comfort, which, by the way, he mentions that word in this passage, the bring them comfort concerning those who have already died, and about how they too will experience the resurrection. Now, let's take a look at this passage together. And so we're going to take it in several sections. Although we're just looking at a few verses, I'd like for us to take it in a few sections so that we can understand exactly what Paul's talking about. So let's focus in on 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 13, where we are going to talk about believers who have died. So if we go to the passage, I want you to notice what Paul writes in verse 13. But we do not want you to be uninformed, brothers, about those who are asleep, that you may not grieve as others do who have no hope. Now, let's take a look at this. We're going to divide it in a couple of sections here in verse 13. We're going to, first of all, focus on the first part of verse 13, where we're going to discuss the issue. What I want you to see here is this. Remember the context. I told you the context is we're addressing an issue with the Thessalonians, and it has to do with what happens to people who have already died. So Paul did not want them to be ignorant about those who have died waiting for Jesus' return. Remember, somehow they had come to the conclusion that maybe through false prophets, that their dead loved ones were not going to be included. They were concerned that dead believers would not be a part of the second coming. Someone had gotten to them. Someone had told them that those who had already died, well, they're not going to be a part of it. Well, here's what I want you to see in the second part of verse 13. We're going to see Paul's intent. What's he about to do here with this passage? Here's what I want you to notice. He will instruct them so that they don't grieve like those who don't have an eternal hope. So he's going to come along and he's going to teach them some powerful truths about the resurrection, the rapture, so that they don't grieve like people who have no hope. What do you mean, like people who have no hope? Well, if you don't have any hope about Jesus and about salvation and about eternity, when you have a loved one who dies, that's it. There is no hope beyond that. And so he doesn't want them to grieve like those kind of people. So that brings us now to the next section we're going to look at in these verses. I want you to notice with me 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 14. The promise. He's going to give them a promise. So let's take a look at the verse. Here's what verse 14 says. For since we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so, through Jesus, God will bring with him those who have fallen asleep. All right, again, let's take this verse. We're going to look at it in a couple sections here. First section we see in the first part of verse 14. The resurrection of Christ. Here's what I want you to notice. Paul stated that Christians believed the gospel that Jesus died and rose again. So first thing he's going to point out is believers, if they know Christ, they believe the gospel. What is the gospel? The good news of Jesus Christ. That what? He died and rose again. He died and was resurrected. That's our hope. Our hope is in the fact that Jesus Christ rose from the dead. We believe the gospel. Now, because of that, if you look at the second part of verse 14, we're going to notice now the resurrection of the dead, the issue of the resurrection of the dead. Now, here's what I want you to see. He also stated that those who have died as believers will be with Jesus Christ. So just because somebody believed while they're alive and they died doesn't mean that's the end of it. He's bringing out the point that they will be with Jesus Christ even though they have died. And to illustrate that point, that's going to bring us to our next section here, our third section, which we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verses 15 through 17, the rapture described. He's going to describe the rapture. Now, again, I would ask you to compare it to what we've already looked at in 1 Corinthians chapter 15. You're going to notice a very similar description here about the event. So let's talk about the rapture described. Look with me at verse 15. Here's what Paul writes. For this we declare to you by the word from the Lord, that we who are alive, who are left until the coming of the Lord, will not precede those who have fallen asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a cry of command, with the voice of an archangel, and with the sound of the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive, who are left, will be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And so we will always be with the Lord. Wow, what an amazing description of the rapture. So let's take a look and see what exactly Paul is saying here. First of all, in the first part of verse 15, he's going to tell us the source of his teaching. So what he's describing here concerning the rapture is not just something that he made up. He's going to tell us where he got this teaching. So here's what I want you to notice. Paul tells his readers that Jesus is the source of his teaching concerning the rapture. Jesus is the source. So Paul is saying that Jesus told him this, taught him this. So this is interesting. This is why we need to understand what is being said. Now, a good cross-reference to the reality that Paul had received some teaching from the Lord directly, we find in his first letter to the Corinthians, in chapter 11, verse 23, this is concerning the Lord's table. Here's what he writes. For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. So here he's sharing the instructions of the Lord's table concerning the bread and the cup, and he says directly that he received it from the Lord. The Lord taught him this, and he was delivering this teaching concerning the table to them. This is the same thing that's happening here in 1 Thessalonians. This is not some wild, made-up, imaginary doctrine that appeared out of anywhere. Paul is telling us right in the letter himself that he received this from the Lord. Now, in the second part of verse 15, we're going to see the promise for believers. We're going to see what is the promise for you and I as believers in Jesus Christ. And here's what I want you to see. Believers who are alive at the coming of Jesus will not precede believers who are dead. So basically what he's saying, remember, they were confused about, what about those who have died? They're not going to be a part of this. He's telling them, no, you don't understand. You are not going to precede. You're not going to go before those who have died. You're not going to be different from them. Why? Well, here's the events. When we look at the events of the rapture, several things stick out to us when we focus on verses 16 through 17, the events of the rapture. First of all, first part of verse 16, we see the Lord descends. So at the shout of an angel and the sound of a trumpet, Jesus himself will descend. Jesus himself will descend. So this is what I want you to understand. So at the shout of an angel, this is the same thing that is mentioned in another portion of Scripture, 1 Corinthians 15. Jesus himself will descend. Now, I need to stop and make a comment here. Those who hold to a mid-tribulational view concerning the rapture say that the sound of the trumpet corresponds with the sound of the trumpets in the book of Revelation, the trumpet judgments. Now, the difficulty is this. This letter was written sometime between the 40s and 50s AD. John's letter was written in AD 90. I don't think that Paul knew anything about the last trumpets and the teaching of the book of Revelation. That was revealed to the Apostle John on the Isle of Patmos. So this has nothing to do, this trumpet has nothing to do with the trumpets mentioned in Revelation. In fact, let's remember, we're talking about an ancient culture where trumpets were very much a part of the life of a city and of a nation. And so he's saying that with the shout of an angel and the sound of a trumpet, Jesus himself is going to descend. Now, he's going to refer next, when we look at the second part of verse 16, he's going to refer to the dead in Christ. So he's going to talk about those believers who have already died before this event takes place. So here's what I want you to see. As Jesus descends, those who have died as believers in Christ will rise. So when Jesus comes, those who have died, who are buried, will rise first. They're going to rise first. In fact, let's go. Remember, I mentioned this to you. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 52. Here's what Paul writes there. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trumpet, for the trumpet will sound, and the dead will be raised imperishable, and we shall be changed. So this is describing the same event. Same type of language, same things that you and I need to see. This is the rapture, and the dead will rise first. Now, verse 17 in the first part talks about believers who are alive. We'll see that believers are caught up. So the believers who are alive will be caught up, that is raptured, with those who have been dead. So at the very same instance, in a twinkling of an eye, the dead are raised up, and we who are believers will put on the imperishable. We will lay off these bodies and we will be changed instantaneously. That is describing the resurrection. That is describing the reality of receiving our new bodies. Now, here's what else Paul says. We will meet Jesus in the air. So we will go up to him. The dead are raised. They will go up. We who are here at the time of the rapture, we will go up and meet him in the air. Now, when we look at the second part of verse 17, we're going to see the duration of this. How long does this process take? Well, here's what I want you to notice. Paul tells his readers that from that moment on, believers will always be with Jesus. So from that moment on, when that resurrection of these believers happened and they receive their new bodies, the dead are raised up, we meet Jesus in the air with the dead, we're going to be changed instantaneously. And how long will this be for? We're going to be with Jesus forever. We'll always be with him. Well, then that brings us to the final section of our passage, which we find in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, verse 18, the encouragement. So this is why he's giving this teaching. It's to be an encouragement. So I want you to notice with me, this is what verse 18 says. Therefore, encourage one another with these words. So this teaching of the rapture and what will happen to the dead in Christ and what will happen to us, we are to encourage each other with these words. Why? Because remember, when he started out, he doesn't want us to be ignorant and grieving like those who don't have hope. This is to serve as the basis for our hope. So here's what I want you to see. Paul tells them that they are to comfort and encourage each other with this truth. That's the whole basis for the teaching in 1 Thessalonians 13 through 18. Now, that's going to raise a couple of things in your mind. You're like, okay, I understand. Yeah, I agree with you. I see what the passage is saying about the rapture and the events of the rapture and how this needs to be an encouragement to us. But that doesn't tell me when it takes place. I want to know when it takes place, George. And you're saying I shouldn't focus on that when I look at this portion of Scripture. You're right. You shouldn't focus on that. That's not the purpose of this section of Scripture. There are other passages in the Scripture that kind of point to when the rapture will take place. There are promises. There's a promise in the book of Revelation. There are other things that kind of tell us when exactly this will be. But when we talk about this portion of Scripture and what its purpose is, this purpose of telling us of these events is to tell you that when we are raptured, we are resurrected, and we will always be with Jesus, and the dead in Christ will be with us. So don't listen to false teaching. Don't be discouraged. Don't grieve like those without hope. Encourage yourselves one another, and have hope, because this is what awaits believers.